story reported in the Middle East Quarterly. I want you to hear this, and I really would love to get your response, because this is the never-ending dilemma we have about Islam in America. A random survey of 100 mosques in the United States was conducted to measure the correlation between Sharia adherence and dogma calling for violence against non-believers. Of the 100 American mosques surveyed, now these are mosques again here in the United States, of the 100 surveyed, 51% had texts on site rated as severely advocating violence. 30% had texts rated as moderately advocating violence. 19% had no violent texts at all. In 84.5% of the mosques, the imam recommended studying violence-positive texts. 58% of the mosques invited guest imams known to promote violent jihad. The leadership of mosques that featured violence-positive literature was more likely to invite guest imams who were known to promote violent jihad than was the leadership of mosques that did not feature violence-positive literature on mosque premises. Now, this study, according to Middle East Quarterly, seeks to enter this fray, but at a more empirical level. The study seeks to enter into the domain to determine if there is empirical correlation between actual manifest Sharia-related behaviors and the presence of violent and jihad-based literature, and further, the promotion of that literature. The study also seeks to determine if the spiritual leadership in these mosques is supportive of this genre of literature. Here's what I'm reading in this study. Let me repeat the headline for you. In 84.5% of 100 representative mosques in the United States, the imams recommended studying violence-positive texts. 51% had texts on site rated as severely advocating violence. 30% had texts rated as moderately advocating violence. So if I'm reading this right, over 80% of American mosques subscribe or ascribe to literature that either moderately or severely advocates violence and terrorism. Wow. I don't even know. I mean, I'm stunned at this. And this study is not getting widespread attention in the news media. It's almost as if, oh, well, okay, vast majority of American mosques advocate terrorism. It's okay. They advocate violent terrorism. Remember what Newt Gingrich said, who's going to join us in just a few minutes. And we're going to ask him about this study. Here's cut number four regarding the role of Muslims in American culture. Cut four.
I just want to comment for a second. You know, the Pakistani who immigrated to the U.S., became a citizen, built a car bomb, which luckily failed to go off in Times Square, was asked by the federal judge, how could he have done that when he signed and when he swore an oath to the United States? And he looked at the judge and he said, "You're my enemy. I lied." Now, I just want to go out on a limb here. I am in favor of saying to people, if you're not prepared to be loyal to the United States, you will not serve in my administration, period.
Amen.
We did this in dealing with the Nazis, and we did this in dealing with the communists, and it was controversial both times. And both times we discovered after a while, you know, there are some genuinely bad people who would like to infiltrate our country, and we have got to have the guts to stand up and say no.
Well, it seems to me Speaker Gingrich has a point. And if this is true, if this Middle East Quarterly survey is accurate, to consider that 80 to 85% of American mosques are advocating violence? How could anyone not say this is a problem? How could anyone, Muslim, Christian, Jew, atheist, how could anyone not acknowledge that we've got a major problem on our hands? 1-800-655-MIKE. I mean, it makes me stop and wonder what we're doing about it. We just let mosques in Texas or Oklahoma or Florida or California or New York or Ohio or Indiana, we just let them advocate violence. We don't do anything about it. We just let them sit there and have their services, their worship services, whatever they do, and they're advocating killing Christians. We just sit around and watch that happen. We just let it play out. We put our thumbs in our ears and we say, oh, well, hope they don't get me tomorrow. Hope they don't blow up my son. Hope they don't kill my daughter. Hope they don't slaughter my wife. We just, what do we do? If this is true, don't we have a major problem on our hands? 1-800-655-6453. We're in the RepublicMonetary.com studios. Again, Newt Gingrich will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get his perspective on this. Also ask him about the state of his campaign as he moves forward. But first, to your voice, your reaction, your perspective on this extraordinary study, which has, I think, some pretty chilling, scary revelations. 800-655-MIKE, your voice on the Mike Gallagher Show is next. New study out, a random survey, as it's described, of 100 representative mosques in the United States conducted, showing that up to 81% of these mosques have texts within their environment either moderately or severely advocating violent, terroristic jihad. Again, these are mosques here in the United States. This is scary stuff, is it not? Kirby, you're first up on the Mike Gallagher Show. Hey, Kirby.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
You know, I'm just asking one question. Aren't we always told that it's only a small, very tiny percentage of Muslims that are Islamist, if you will?
We're told over and over, this is a religion of peace, aren't we? This is a peaceful religion.
Yeah, and it's just a small percentage of those that would advocate, you know, violence against anyone.
That's what we're told. I don't know about you, but 84.5% sounds like a pretty high percentage to me. Doesn't it sound like that to you?
Yeah, I'm no mathematician, but it sounds like it to me.
Yeah, I didn't do real well in math either. I'm not really, math isn't my forte. But I'll tell you what, if 80 to 85% of American mosques even flirt with violence in any way, shape, or form, but see, this is the argument. This is the concern. This is the worry that Sharia law and jihad and violence, and yes, we got to call it what it is, terrorism is part and parcel of Islam. I don't know that there's any way around this. And again, when you see a study like this, which is literally and virtually buried in the American news media, there ought to be red flags going up everywhere. 800-655-MIKE, how are you today?
I'm doing great. One of the things that, there's two things I'm concerned about on this. One is I think a vast majority of Americans don't begrudge anyone from practicing their religion, but this is very, very disturbing information. I don't know if you've seen the YouTube video, which is, if the keyword search on it is U.S. Muslim demographics. It's about a 7 or 8 minute long, very well researched and produced video. I don't know who produced it, but it really shows the projection of the growth of Muslims in the United States over the next 20, 25 years. It's
right.
Extremely sobering, and if you combine that with the result of this particular report that came out, it makes me scared of where our culture in the United States is going to be going over the next 20, 25
well,
years.
Well, it terrifies me because, Mike, the reality here that we have to face is the enemy is homegrown. If this is true, we are cultivating and permitting the presence and the formation and the maturation of the enemy right here in the United States. You know, we have this perception that these are terrorists from the other side of the world and they want to come over here and they infiltrate sometimes on expired visas or they sneak into the country. These are American mosques. These aren't mosques in Pakistan. I mean, and when I hear people say, well, you know, we want to permit the freedom to worship and the freedom to... No, I don't think we want to permit mosques in the United States to be used as environments to plot the murder of non-believers. I mean, and I just love the nature of this study. 30% of these mosques had texts moderately advocating violence. Wonder what a moderate advocation of violence is. Oh, cut my arms off, but don't kill me? What kind of moderate violence would that be? Pluck my eyes out, but don't take my life. Just pluck out one of my eyes. When you kill me, you're not going to torture me, but severely advocating violence, that means you're going to torture and then you're going to kill me? Wow. I mean, this is an extraordinary story. And to all the people, and I must say, including President George Bush, who lectured us over the years telling us what a peaceful religion Islam is, I wonder what they're thinking when they read about this study. 1-800-655-MIKE. We'll also find out what Newt Gingrich has to say about it. The presidential candidate joins us next.
Over the past few years, I have engaged in several inappropriate conversations conducted over Twitter.
If you follow the news media's narrative of what's the latest thing we're talking about, is it cheating if you send provocative pictures of yourself as a married man to women over the internet?
I like where this is going.
Who in their right mind is going to argue that you're not cheating on your wife if you send dirty pictures of yourself to another woman? Are you kidding me? Are you insane?
Just another example of good old common sense on the Mike Gallagher Show.
Now back to Mike.
So I'm watching Good Morning America, and I see this story about a nonprofit charity founded by Newt Gingrich, which is, I happen to know a little bit about this charity. It's a pretty amazing organization. And they have a scandal now they think they found. Brian Ross, the investigative reporter, this is a charity that came close to crossing a line that's supposed to separate tax-exempt charitable work from both the political process and such profit-making enterprises like books and DVDs. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like this. I mean, the stories about this pretty remarkable man and the sort of the controversies that have been created by the news media, because I'm watching this and I'm thinking, there's nothing to this story. It's about as worthwhile as getting all upset that he happened to have a bill at Tiffany's to buy jewelry for his wife. Are you kidding me? This is what's passing for journalism and news when it applies to Newt Gingrich. Let's welcome on our Walmart guest line, Save Money, Live Better, Walmart, former House Speaker and GOP presidential candidate, Newt Gingrich. Newt, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Mike, it's always great to be with you. And I don't have any Krispy Kreme donuts, so I'm not quite as well off as I was when you and I were together in Greenville at the end of our tour.
It's been too long. I got to catch up to you, and because you need to be re-energized with some Krispy Kremes, right?
Yeah,
I mean, Calista doesn't like it.
At some point.
I look forward to it.
You got to come travel with us again sometime. I did 17 towns in Iowa in 1 week. You'd have loved it. It was your kind of events.
Well, and my kind of event means I get to watch people interact with you, and I was, as you know, profoundly impacted by our trips together in October before the midterm election. But I do want to start. Are you surprised at the ferociousness of some of these non-issues and non-stories that the media is trying to drum up with you?
Well, I thought it would happen about October. I always thought there would be a war from the elite media. Because if you look at what I'm campaigning on, it's the end of their world. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I just wrote my new book, A Nation Like No Other, is to outline American exceptionalism and the Declaration of Independence, all the things you and I talked about on our last tour together, being endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, versus Obama's secular European socialism. Now, if you are the elite media, I'm attacking your value system. I'm attacking everything that you've tried to impose on the American people. I think that it is really, really important that we focus on what's really happening here. I talk about substance. I gave a speech Sunday night in Los Angeles and proposed 9 major changes in our policy in the Middle East. That, of course, wasn't worthy of the elite media. I talked about substance in Concord, New Hampshire on Tuesday morning, and outlined repealing the Dodd-Frank bill, trying to help homeowners when 1 out of every 4 has their house under the mortgage level. That wasn't really worth covering by the elite media. I'll give a speech in the Atlanta Press Club next Wednesday in which I'm going to ask a fundamental question. Who got our money? And I'm going to challenge Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, to make public all of the decision documents, all of the scheduled meetings, and where the money went. Hundreds of billions of dollars allocated in secret by one person, Ben Bernanke. I think it's an outrageously anti-American model. And part of the reason I wrote A Nation Like No Other is to outline what did the founding fathers really want in the United States? What's the heart and soul of being an American? It's citizens being central, not bureaucrats and politicians.
Well, and that frankly
makes the elite media very mad.
Well, they are. They must be, because that's how they're behaving. They're acting like kind of petulant kids. I mean, I've never, from the Tiffany story to this story now, these are non-issues. They're not substantive. Of course, it's a distraction from what your core message is. And I guess, obviously, the challenge you face is how do I keep delivering the core message when these guys are throwing so many slings and arrows at me?
Right. And, of course, it's designed, frankly, to drive Callista and me out of the race by just pounding on us so much that at a personal level, it gets too painful.
Is it effective? Does it? It's got to hurt.
Well, of course it hurts. I mean, I have to remind myself, as you know, I wrote a novel about George Washington crossing the Delaware on Christmas Day in the middle of a snowstorm. And I have to remind myself that the people who were citizens in America in the past have faced much bigger problems than some network smearing them. They faced crises that were life and death, that involved literally people risking everything. And so, you know, we take it, but it hurts. It's painful. It's dishonest. There was a piece this morning on NBC in which they did not have a single person on camera. They didn't quote a single person by name. They invented the whole smear, and then they talked about what the smear meant since they'd proven it was a smear and whether that ended my campaign, because after all, they wanted my campaign to end, having made up the whole story. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we're dealing with. ABC ran a story where Reverend Jim Garlow, a great minister in San Diego who's the head of Renewing American Leadership, sent me an email yesterday despairingly saying every time he told them the truth, they said that doesn't count.
It doesn't matter. They don't want to hear that. That's not what they want to hear. I mean, and NBC's Chuck Todd literally said, you support McCarthyism. This was astounding. Let's play clip 3. You know, millions of Americans at the debate stood up and cheered when you talked about the challenges we face with Islam and Islamic terrorists. I mean, in fact, there's a study we've been talking about that just came out today that shows that a vast majority of American mosques, according to a survey of 100 American mosques, advocate violent jihad and terrorism. So you make a common sense observation about Muslims and the challenges we face. Here's what NBC's Chuck Todd had to say about your common sense perspective on the subject. Cut 3.
I got to go with this Sharia law question. Herman Cain went there, and then Newt Gingrich doubled down in a way on, frankly, supporting McCarthyism. Take a listen.
Frankly, supporting McCarthyism? Here's what you said, by the way, so the people don't doubt where you're coming from. Here's cut number four. This is what Newt Gingrich said at the debate.
I just want to comment for a second. You know, the Pakistani who immigrated to the U.S., became a citizen, built a car bomb, which luckily failed to go off in Times Square, was asked by the federal judge, how could he have done that when he signed and when he swore an oath to the United States? And he looked at the judge and he said, you're my enemy. I lied. Now, I just want to go out on a limb here. I am in favor of saying to people, if you're not prepared to be loyal to the United States, you will not serve in my administration, period.
Amen.
We did this in dealing with the Nazis, and we did this in dealing with the communists, and it was controversial both times. And both times we discovered after a while, you know, there are some genuinely bad people who would like to infiltrate our country, and we have got to have the guts to stand up and say no.
Sounds like a pretty reasonable position to me, but Chuck Todd thinks that's McCarthyism, Newt.
Well, notice, first of all, I didn't talk specifically about Muslims.
I cited a case
involving a Pakistani in New York City, but you could have talked about the Cuban-American who turned out for 25 years to have been spying for Castro. You could have been talking about the native-born American FBI agent who was in charge of counterterrorism, who turned out to have been spying for the Soviet Union. You could have talked about Chinese-American scientist, first-generation immigrant here who turned out to be spying for communist China. My point was, you live in a time when there are dangers around the world of people who want to undermine and infiltrate our country, and we have to be vigilant. And I wasn't quoting McCarthy. I was quoting Harry Truman. I was quoting Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I was quoting Dwight David Eisenhower. These are people who, as presidents of the United States, knew from the reports they were getting that there were real spies. This, you know, people on the left have this fantasy that there were no spies in the Truman years, even though the CIA has released the Verona papers, which proved that as early as 1944, they were consistently tracking a Soviet spy ring in the United States. But on the left, there's this absolute desperate need, and this is why I get hammered so much. On the hard left, and that includes a lot of our elite media, proposing that we defend ourselves is clearly a dangerous idea.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that. That's not practical. And meanwhile, along comes this report. Middle East Quarterly reveals a random survey of 100 representative mosques in the United States was conducted to measure the correlation between Sharia adherence. Of the 100 mosques surveyed, 81% had texts rated at either moderately or severely advocating violence. That's scary stuff. That's not around the world, Newt. That's here in the United States.
Well, that's exactly right. And let me go a step further. When you learn that the Pakistanis are arresting the people who helped us find bin Laden,
right?
They're not arresting the people who helped protect bin Laden.
Right.
You know, we gave them $20 billion since 9/11. And instead of arresting, saying, boy, this is a real scandal, how could he have been living in a military city 1 mile from our National Defense University in a large compound and we didn't notice it? Instead of going after the people who've been protecting him, they're going after the people who helped the United States, and this administration is passive. We ought to be enraged. And we ought to say to them, I mean, how stupid do you think we are? But again, that would be so politically incorrect. I'm almost afraid, Mike, to say it because I don't know what smear will lead to next in the elite media.
Well, they're ginned up for it. There's no question about it. Newt Gingrich is our guest. Newt, let me just ask you in sort of closing. And you've always been a straight shooter with me and with our listeners. Obviously, there were headlines made about this, your staff defection or whatever. I don't know anything any more than what I read in the papers. Can you give us the story from your perspective and how it has affected your campaign?
Sure. First of all, my campaign is at newt.org. It's going to be a grassroots campaign. We're going to have conversations like this on talk radio. We're going to use Facebook, which is basically free. I wanted to have a campaign of ideas. That's why I wrote the new book, A Nation Like No Other. You've seen them. You know we have 7 movies that Clist and I have made that are documentaries.
Yep.
I believe in actually talking with people about ideas in a positive way, and that takes time. We had a group of traditional consultants who thought my job was to raise money for them to run attack ads. We had a meeting of the way, and I said, look, that's not who I want to be. That's not why I'm running. I have great faith in the American people. I believe this is the most important election since 1860, and I'm going to spend my time explaining the huge, huge gap between American exceptionalism and secular European socialism and why Newt Gingrich stands for the Declaration of Independence being endowed by our creator and American exceptionalism, and Barack Obama stands for a secular European socialism in which Washington controls your life and bureaucrats define your rights.
So what happens? I mean, you replace the people who left. I mean, you have
absolutely
a different vision.
We only lost one person who was with me in January. This whole thing was made. We had a handful of outside consultants. They've decided they were the center of the universe. So when they left, they grandly announced that the whole campaign was over. But in fact, we had a meeting in which I said to them, I can't be their kind of candidate. I wasn't that kind of candidate in 1994. When we had a positive contract with America and created an American record, 9 million additional votes for the Republicans. I wasn't that kind of candidate in 1980 when I worked with Ronald Reagan and we did the first Capital Steps event on five big positive ideas. I believe in a very different model than the Republican consultants believe in, and I decided I'd rather live out my life having faith in the American people than putting my faith in negative ads and very expensive campaigns.
Newt Gingrich, it's always wonderful to hear your perspective, and we very much appreciate your time. Keep fighting the good fight, sir.
We'll be there. Thanks.
Thanks. Newt Gingrich joining us here on the Mike Gallagher Show to weigh in on the headlines that have been